Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture this morning is from Matthew 2, 1 through 12, NRSVUE version. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet," quote, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him a homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
A couple of months ago, I mentioned my friend, mentor, the Reverend Dr. Sharon Rhodes Wickett. She's a former pastor of mine, a maternal figure, helped guide me through the loss of my mom at a young age. What I may have said is that I've remained close with Sharon's family through the loss of her husband, who had early onset Alzheimer's, but also her two children. And I'm particularly close to, she has two kids, Rachel, who's older, Ben, who's younger. I'm particularly close to Ben. We're nearly siblings. He's a fantastic musician, bass player primarily, although I've never known someone who can just pick up a mandolin and just start playing it. So we've done camp together, we've made music together, and one of the things about Ben is he's just ridiculously smart. He's one of those people where, like, he's so smart you're like a little bit mad about it. Ben works for a company maybe you've heard of, an organization, I should say, called JPL. And he spent about 6 months in Florida because he's a mechanical engineer who worked on the Europa Clipper. So he spent about 6 months there preparing that satellite for launch. It launched, I think, on October 14th. And I texted, I was watching the live stream for the launch, and I texted him, And he sent me a picture. We can show it to you. I have his permission to show this picture. It's hard to see in here, but what that is on his watch, it's his heartbeat. And if you can see the number, his heartbeat's at 136 beats per minute. He's that sort of, like all the emotions that go along with this project that he spent years on and whether or not it's going to make it into space or a rocket's going to blow up. One of the things I love about Ben is he has found this wonderful way to balance his incredible knowledge of mechanics and science with a deep understanding of how the world works with a really incredible faith. I had the privilege of performing the wedding for Ben and his wife, Phoebe. I mentioned how smart Ben is, and maybe the only person I know smarter than Ben is his wife, Phoebe, who also works for JPL. They have this really rich and incredible faith that they are able to hold alongside their understanding of mathematics and science and space and the way the world works. Like I said, it's really wonderful. I had the privilege a number of years ago of being the youth leader for a church in Pasadena First UMC. It's right on Colorado Boulevard. They probably still has bleachers in front of their church right now. And a number of people who worked or who attended that church were scientists who worked for JPL. And over and over again, I would hear people tell me about one of the things that I love about science, that it helps me discover new things about how God does things in the world. Ben is someone who has, and he's always, as long as I've known him, and I should say I've known him literally his entire life, because I'm ever so slightly older than he is. One of the things that Ben has always exhibited is a profound curiosity about the world. I won't delve too much into this because I don't want to mix metaphors, but if you know the quote from Ted Lasso, be curious, not judgmental. It's a wonderful approach to the world, to everything, to every interaction, to the things that are happening in the world. Be curious, not judgmental. And I would suggest that this is lived out by the Magi who traveled to see Jesus. They were curious. There was a star or something in the sky. You see, we often talk about these Magi as kings. We know the hymn. I think we're singing the hymn later, aren't we? We three kings of Orient are, right? The Magi who come from the east. Do you remember the text? Wise men from the east, sometimes translated as Magi. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. It doesn't say kings. And it doesn't say there's three of them. Do you know where we get the three part from? Because there's three gifts. So we assume. But that's not what the text says. It just says there are some wise men, some magi. Most likely they're astrologers, people who study the sky. I would suggest that my friend Ben is someone who studies the sky in his own way. He's curious. And the magi, whether there was some supernatural phenomenon or some other impetus for them to get on their feet and on whatever animals they may have rode. Listen, I don't know if there's camels. I'm not sure. However it is that they traveled. Now, the other thing that I want to point out is it was probably a lot more than 12 days, right? We celebrate Epiphany on January 6th, right? That's the 12 days of Christmas. We start with Christmas Day. We end on Epiphany. But the Magi probably traveled a lot longer than 12 days. Coming from the east, guided in some way, because they're curious. Something new is happening in the world, and it inspires their curiosity and their action. So what do? They go to the leader in the region. They go to King Herod. Now, King Herod is someone who likes to be known for his power. King Herod is someone, one of the historical aspects of King Herod is he completed magnificent building projects. It seems to me as though he wanted to be known for that sense of wealth and power and influence. One of the buildings that he named that was particularly impressive was, well, it was so impressive that he named it after himself, the Herodium. But I would suggest, exhibited from this text today, that Herod was so enthralled with power and influence that he was terribly afraid of losing it. Where is this child who has been born king of the Jews, they ask Herod, for we observed his star at its rising. We've come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened. He was scared. Now, I suggest that when we face unusual things, that we can make a choice about how we respond. And it's not always a binary choice, but for the purposes of this message, perhaps we might consider that we can respond to those unusual things out of curiosity or out of fear. How, when you think about unusual circumstances in your life, how have you responded to those? Have you responded to those out of curiosity? Have you responded to those things out of fear? As I look back on my life, like it's a mixed bag. Sometimes I've responded to stuff out of fear. Sometimes I've responded to stuff out of curiosity. And for the most part, works out a lot better when I respond out of curiosity. And I wonder if it's that way for you. Well, secretly, Herod calls on the wise men to learn about the exact time when the star appeared, and then he sends them to Bethlehem. He says, go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. So they heard the king, they set out, and they went to the direction of the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. They saw that the star had stopped. They were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A lot of theologians will go into a great deal of detail about potential symbolism for these gifts. Other theologians will look at these three gifts and talk about their practicality. I wonder if, for our purposes today, we might simply settle on the recognition that this was an expression of generosity. Perhaps that's another way that we can respond to unusual circumstances, the way that we can protest fear is with curiosity and generosity. King Herod, if we continue the text, well, he responds out of fear with violence. And we are in a world where it seems as though there is more and more violent response to fear. I'm mindful. I'm mindful that tomorrow, January 6th, Epiphany, is also the 4-year anniversary of violence at our national capital. We live in a world where there is too much violent response to fear. And I suggest that our text today reminds us that we can respond differently, that we can respond with curiosity, and we can respond with generosity. Verse 12 says, "And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." See, one of the things this reminds me of is no matter how far down a particular road we've gone, even if we've gone down that road of responding to unfamiliar circumstance with fear, we can always choose another road. We can always choose another road. This day we celebrate. We celebrate curiosity. We celebrate the curiosity that causes us to seek out the divine in the world. To take unusual circumstances and seek out where God's light might shine. Today we celebrate that curiosity, knowing that we can respond to these kinds of circumstances with good questions, with motivated journeying. Maybe that's an emotional journey. Maybe that's a spiritual journey. We can respond with generosity. Generosity of time. Giving something the time it takes to explore, to wonder. We can respond in the generosity of gifts. And when we find that perhaps we have journeyed in a different direction, one that's less about curiosity and more about fear, we can always choose another road. This Epiphany Sunday, friends, I invite you to hear this ancient story and see it through the lens of curiosity. Take a moment. Read it for yourself. Be curious. And hear how the richness of this text speaks to you today. Be curious, friends, not judgmental.